It's 5 minutes past 11. You're on Live 90.5 Spotlight with Jim and Darren.
We're very fortunate to have on the line a good friend of our show and a person who is just a great advocate for something that we care very much about, Darren, and that's Dr. Philip Lee, a strong and wonderful person who's a great advocate for palliative care, particularly at Westmead. Good morning to you, Dr. Lee. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning, Jim, and to you also, Darren. Thank you very much for inviting me back onto the program.
Well, we are very fortunate, both Darren and I, that we are in a position where we invite all those people that we like, first and foremost, and secondly, people who make a contribution to the community in which we live. And we're not going to let this go. Darren and I have made a quasi-pact that it's important, and we hope that it's not important to us at this point in time, but you never know. Our modus operandi is to, like you, have this as a resource in a wide context for people who require it. And that, of course, is getting palliative care into Westmead in particular. When we talk about palliative care, what do we really talk about, Doctor? What do we mean by that concept?
Well, palliative care is misunderstood, and it is something that we've tried really hard as part of this program to educate the community about what is provided by the team. And the name was changed to the Supportive and Palliative Care Department to try and do that. It's looking after patients and also, importantly, their families, people who are diagnosed with a life-limiting illness. And people mostly think of cancer, but it extends right across the health spectrum, from cancer to heart problems to kidney problems, bowel problems, even dementia. And it's trying to support those patients through that journey so they can have the best quality of life in whatever time they may have available. And for some patients, it may be days to weeks that they're looking at, but for other patients, it can be months to years. And so it's a teamwork approach with their primary treating team, the cardiologist, the cancer specialist, and the palliative care team looking after that quality of life.
And we should tell our listeners, because I think this is really important part of this whole jigsaw, you are a retired palliative care physician. You are a doctor in your own right. You're retired. And if I can be really blunt, there's nothing in this for you, in the sense if we look at being why do people do things, other than your genuine care for this part of the journey for people who require such an important part to take place in an environment that helps not only them but their families. And I've got to say that, because there's nothing in this. You don't get paid. You don't get paid any money, in the sense you don't get anything other than, if I can say as I normally say, misery and conflict with people who put up a bureaucratic wall, who say no, commercially, and I understand business better than most, we can't do that. There are economies of scale, resources go to Mount Druitt and Auburn, it's all fixed. And yet we get from the other side, with planning and treasury, we're getting this massive growth of people in Western Sydney, 2 million people. That part of the business, I just can't work out. So it's really a contradiction.
Yes, there's probably three reasons that really motivate me to do this. One, as the director of the palliative care service, it was under my watch that the amazing, dedicated, standalone palliative care ward was closed, despite our pushback and trying to prevent that from happening.
Mm-hmm.
And so I feel guilty in a way that what was once a nation-leading acute palliative care unit was lost. The second reason is a personal one, that my father and my father-in-law both died from complicated cancer in Westmead Hospital's palliative care unit. And I dread to think how their care would have been compromised if that was happening today, where there's not a palliative care unit. The third thing that really drives me is the amazing community support that has arisen up around this advocacy program. What started off as a small group of five or six people, all with the same mindset, has now spread to people like yourselves who understand the issues and are really dedicated to getting a good outcome for the people of Western Sydney.
And Dr. Lee there, thank you for joining us. Darren here. Can you update us on things where it just really puts into context that community support? So there was a petition on the New South Wales Government website, there's a Facebook group. What are the latest numbers that you can share from those arenas?
Well, from the Facebook group, the Westmead Push for Palliative Care, it's staggering that there are over 1,000 people who have signed up to that group and are now friends of that group and are spreading the word to their circle of friends. The New South Wales Parliament e-petition, which was sponsored by the Parramatta local member, Dr. Jeff Lee, when it closed at the end of December, had almost 1,300 people who had gone to the effort of signing that petition. And that petition will now be presented to Parliament on the 9th of February. It'll be tabled in Parliament. And the Health Minister, as part of that process, will need to reply to that petition and to the questions that are being asked. It's the every aspect of the community, the local members of Parliament in Prospect, Seven Hills, Parramatta, Castle Hill, Granville, of both sides of Parliament, bipartisan support, have approached the Health Minister on our behalf. The Shadow Health Minister in State Parliament, Ryan Park, has also done the same thing. The local councils who cover the Westmead area, Cumberland Council and City of Parramatta Council, both passed motions supporting the advocacy program and have approached the Health Minister. And through the Cumberland Mayor, an article was published in the Sydney Morning Herald last week where I was asked to contribute, again highlighting the issues that are surrounding the loss of the palliative care ward at Westmead Hospital. So it just demonstrates that this is something that appeals to our whole community, because people realise that we do have a finite life. We all are going to die at some stage, hopefully peacefully, but there are people in the community who need that expertise to ensure that they maintain their dignity, they maintain their comfort, and the support is there for their families and carers.
And when you talk about the comments made by Mayor Steve Christo, I think in Cumberland area there's some 200 to 240,000 people, 15% of them are over 60. So if we did a little mathematics, we would find if we just took 10%, that's 24,000 people who are over 60. And if we dissected that number, we would probably have somewhere in the order of, 5 to 6,000 people who are over 70, 75. And so those changes come about in our life. And I would hate, and I want our listeners to get right behind this, Dr. Lee, I would hate at that most precious time in your life to worry of being, getting on the phone and ringing saying, look, do you have a bed there for my mother or my father or my brother? You have to drive up to, in the midst of all of that, drive up to another place. I don't care where it is, but it just beggars belief to me that we just honestly don't understand the implications of the need for palliative care, not only for our patients, but for ourselves as well.
Well, just something I'd like to really clarify from that, Jim, and what you said is entirely accurate. Palliative care is aiming to support people and their families to care for them in the place where they want to be cared for and they can manage to care for them. So palliative care is across all aspects of our health system. Mm-hmm. Most people do indicate initially that they want to stay at home. And so there is wonderful community support from specialists, from nursing staff, from social work to put that in place. But there's a group of patients who where that support is just not sufficient. And as you say, they need an appropriate facility, whether it be a palliative care unit, an aged care facility, or even just for respite to give the family a break where they can be cared for. There's another group of patients where Westmead comes into the equation, whose condition is so complex it cannot be managed in a local hospital such as Blacktown or Auburn or even at Mount Druitt in the palliative care unit. They need to be able to access the expertise of all the other specialists in a place like Westmead, the incredibly skilled anaesthetists who can put in spinal blocks, the gastroenterologists who may be able to put a stent in to clear a blockage to let the patient live a bit longer but also with better quality. And the list just goes on and on of that expertise. And one of the wonderful things about working at Westmead Hospital was that interaction with all the other departments. There was no issue of ownership it was to coordinate the care with the patient at the very centre of it, not the patient having to fit in with the system. And while Westmead Hospital can still access that expertise, you don't have the facility of dedicated palliative care beds staffed by dedicated, experienced palliative care nurses who can coordinate the care of these most complex group of patients.
Dr. Lee, please stay on the line. We're just going to go to a short break now and have a song, but we do want to hear more from you about this push and what our listeners can do to keep supporting it so we actually make it happen as a community of Western Sydney.
Thank you, Darren.
Alive 90.5.
21 minutes past 11, Alive 90.5 Spotlight with Jim Darren.
We're very fortunate to have on the line Dr. Philip Lee, a great advocate, a retired physician, someone that we respect immensely, and really has a story that he wants all our listeners to act upon, not just to listen to, but to really help make sure that this situation becomes a reality. And as I said previously, it's one in which is going to help people we don't even know. And that, I think that is a value that we all should hold of building a better community for people that require us. We become the voice for those who cannot become the voice. Dr. Lee, how can we get really right behind you in the sense, how can we make a further, I don't want to use the word noise, but how can we make further comment, I think I just did, make further comment with regards to those people of influence? I mean, this is a real situation. This is not like dropping a pie and then going and buying another one. This is dealing with people's lives, and I think we need to understand the severity and the sensitivity of what we're trying to do for people. And it beggars belief to me. I'm inspired by you, and I know Darren is, and that's why we want to get behind you with regards to it. I can be mercenary. I don't live in the area. It's got nothing to do with me. But that's not how we're made. It's about building a better world and leaving a better world. And particularly you, it's just an incredible story, and we can't thank you and your wife for really getting behind this incredible hope to build a better world for people. How do we help you?
Jim, one of the most powerful voices in this whole issue are the voices of carers. Someone died just before Christmas, which was a really emotional time, not only because she died, but because it was just before the Christmas celebrations. And her daughter wrote to me describing the care that her mother received in Westmead and at Mount Druitt Hospital. And it put on paper in a much better way than I ever could the wonderful care that her mother received and the difference it made to that family during the care of her mother, but also in their grieving afterwards. And she was quite happy for me to share that with whoever I felt was appropriate. And sharing that letter with politicians, with journalists, really has a huge effect. And I invite the community out there that if they have stories that would affect this whole push to reopen the Westmead ward, both good and bad, it really does make a difference. I can say things from a clinical perspective, which people can brush off and say, yes, you're just a doctor. But when families come out with these comments and these incredibly emotional stories, that is powerful. And people who are making decisions cannot ignore those powerful comments and stories that the community brings to patient care. Because as I keep saying, the most important aspect of all medical care, but in particular palliative care, is that it is centred around the patient. It is not centred around the hospital's finances or patient flow or anything else. We have to look at each individual patient as an individual person and respect what they need.
Dr. Lee, and let me put this in a non-medical sense. I often, in my times of going to palliative care and seeing people, they are really at that end stage, as you said, and quite often the ones that I've gone and seen for a number of reasons are at a stage where they're nearly unconscious, in the sense that their system has broken down completely, and it's just the natural period of time that takes them away. And I look at people who are around around that bed, and I interpret them saying, I wish I could see them with their eyes open to tell them stories, to tell them things that I should have told them some time ago. And we tend to rob ourselves, and yet we put ourselves in such a guilty situation. That's why I'm saying the sensitivity and making sure that we give every moment we can to that end part of a person's life. And that's what I have. I can remember a couple of people very close to me where they were in palliative care, and I wished I could have said to them things. And I...
Well, Jim, that's exactly the reason that the experienced palliative care nurses are so important, because what you've just expressed is what so many families feel. But what we know from research over many, many areas is that even though patients are unconscious, they hear you.
Right.
You can, and the nurses have the skill, the palliative care nurses have the skill to say to families, look, your mum has just heard you. See, her breathing has slowed down. Did you see there was a tiny smile came on her face, but her eyes just relaxed? And that makes a huge difference, not only to the patient who is unconscious, but can clearly still understand what's happening around them. But it reassures the family and friends that their visit is so meaningful. Even though the patient can't communicate with them in words, they're communicating with them in a totally different way. And if you have an experienced nurse there who can interpret that, that is wonderful for the patient and it's wonderful for the family.
Dr. Lee, thank you for joining us this morning on Spotlight to continue the push, the Westmead push for palliative care. And as you said earlier, supportive and palliative care department that we want reinstated at Westmead Hospital. How can people get in touch with yourself and the team behind this push?
Well, there's the Westmead Push for Palliative for those people who are on Facebook, but we also have an email address that is to myself and one of the other organisers, which is quite simple, which is Westmead4PC for palliative care, so Westmead4PC@gmail.com, and that comes directly to myself and one of the other organisers, and I'll be very happy to answer people's questions or comments or receive contributions of their own personal stories if they feel they'd like to share it.
Well, on behalf of Darren and myself and all the people that you represent and fight for, we thank you so much, Dr. Lee. You're an amazing person, you're an inspiration, and we will continue to walk with you in supporting the ideals that you have for other people who can't do that. Thanks for joining us this morning.
Thanks so much, Jim, and you also, Darren. Really appreciate it. And the community of Western Sydney appreciate it as well.
Have a great morning. Thank you.
Thank you.
Alive 90.5.